As the financial system groaned under unprecedented stress, the U.S. Government Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming heard testimony that green jobs could help rebuild America. You will hear the brief introduction by the Democratic chair of the committee, Congressman Ed Markey of Massachusetts, followed by two proponents, Mr. Bracken Hendricks, Senior Fellow, Center for American Progress, and Dr. Robert Paulin, Co-Director, Political Economy Research Institute. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Here is Congressman Markey.
This hearing is called to order. The United States is in an economic tailspin. Earlier this week, Alan Greenspan characterized the situation as a once-in-a-century crisis and predicted that we are on the verge of recession. The markets are reeling. The Wall Street titans are collapsing, and home values have plummeted. Worst of all, for American families, unemployment has soared to its highest level in 5 years, with 84,000 jobs lost in August and 605,000 jobs lost since the beginning of this year. To set the economy right, we will have to take bold action on many fronts. We must restore oversight, transparency, and prudence in the financial markets. We must strengthen the dollar and reform our trade policy. And we must forge a new energy strategy, one that will finally release us from big oil's stranglehold, ignite an energy technology revolution, and put America back to work. Change, baby, change must be our mantra if we are going to successfully work to restore America to strength and prosperity. Speedy adoption of a green stimulus package is a crucial first step. A recent study from the Center for American Progress and the Political Economy Research Institute shows that by investing $100 billion in greening our buildings, expanding our mass transit, building a smart electrical grid, and supporting wind and solar power and advanced biofuels, we can create 2 million new jobs. The green investment package they propose creates more jobs, better-paying jobs, than they would at the same level of spending on consumer rebates. It creates four times as many jobs as the same level of investment in the oil and gas industry. At the same time, it will save American consumers billions in energy costs and slashing global warming pollution. In states all across the country, from California to Michigan and Ohio, the clean energy industry is already among the leaders in job creation. In my home state of Massachusetts, clean tech is already the 10th largest industry and is projected to grow to third in the next 10 years. Energy technology, or ET, as Thomas Friedman has called it, will rival IT as an engine of innovation and economic growth in the coming decades. All we need are the right policies to strike the spark. We have begun to make this change a reality by passing the Energy Independence and Security Act last December and the Comprehensive Energy Security and Consumer Protection Act earlier this week. The legislation passed in the House this week establishes a comprehensive energy policy that includes, among other things, tax credits for wind and solar power, a national renewable electricity standard, aggressive building efficiency standards, and increased funding for mass transit, green buildings, and home energy assistance for low-income households. Extending the renewable energy tax credits alone will save 116,000 American jobs and $19 billion in investment. We must now take the next step with a targeted set of investments that will put Americans back to work retrofitting our buildings to save energy, greening the grid, training workers for green jobs, and building the fuel-efficient cars of the future right here in America. These measures are a down payment on building America's energy economy, the future first steps towards economic recovery. These are those critical first steps. The greatest long-term challenges, however, are also going to be dealt with on at the same time. America's economy and national security, that is, freeing us from dependence on foreign energy sources and combating global warming. We have an excellent panel of witnesses who will be able to discuss all of these issues for us. We look forward to their testimony.
We have a great panel today. I'd like to introduce them, starting with my friend Bracken Hendricks, who is currently senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Bracken specializing in energy and climate issues, and he was founding executive director of the Apollo Alliance and co-author of the book Apollo's Fire, Igniting America's Clean Energy Economy, which was an incredible feat to co-author considering that he had to drag the other co-author constantly. So that was amazing. Mr. Hendricks previously served, among other things, as special assistant to the office of Vice President Al Gore. And Bracken, thank you for your leadership for years on these subjects. Dr. Robert Pollan is our second witness. He's professor of economics and co-director of the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. Dr. Pollan's research centers on macroeconomics, conditions for low-wage workers in the U.S. and globally, and analysis of financial markets, certainly timely. He is co-author of the recent report, Green Recovery, a program to create good jobs and start building a low-carbon economy, which addresses exactly the subject of today's hearing. We thank you, Dr. Paul, and we want you to know that not all the members of this panel share a disdain for economists. I happen to have a degree in that, so thank you for being here. Mr. Fred Redmond is International Vice President for Human Affairs for the United Steelworkers. As a founding member of the Blue-Green Alliance and the Green Jobs for America campaign, the steelworkers have taken a real, true leading role in the labor movement in advocating for environmental protection and green job creation. He was named to the Executive Council of the AFL-CIO earlier this year, and please convey our thanks for your president's leadership on this on multiple occasions as well. Byron Kennard is Executive Director of the Center for Small Business and the Environment, which he co-founded in 1998. He is a longtime environmental advocate. He was awarded the Leadership Medal of the United Nations Environmental Program for his work in building the environmental movement. He's the author of Nothing Can Be Done, Everything is Possible, a book of essays on social change, and he's a guest columnist for GreenBiz.com, FortuneSmallBusiness.com, BusinessWeek.com, and other outlets, and we appreciate you being here. We need a little social change. Dr. Margot Thorning is Executive Vice President and Chief Economist for the American Council for Capital Formation. Dr. Thorning's work focuses on tax, environmental, and competitive issues. She's the author of several books on these issues and has testified frequently to quite a number of congressional committees. Dr. Thorning, thank you for being here today. With that, should we start with Bracken Hendricks?
Thank you very much, Congressman Inslee. I understand you're an author as well. I want to especially thank Chairman Markey and Ranking Member Sensenbrenner and all the members of the committee and the staff who are an incredibly competent staff as well. It's an honor to be here today to talk about a number of issues that are coming together and finding solutions that actually can start to address a number of interrelated issues. August saw our unemployment rate jump to 6.1%. 9.4 million people are out of work. Clearly, there's a significant financial crisis brewing. The housing values are declining. But there's a whole other set of issues that are also affecting the economy right now. Rising energy prices. Coal prices for Appalachian coal have jumped 200% in a very short while. $600 billion flows out of the economy for imported oil. And, of course, there's a brewing climate crisis, which, with inaction, presents very significant costs and significant long-term burdens to the economy. I am Bracken Hendricks. I'm a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and the Center for American Progress Action Fund. And we were honored to work with the University of Massachusetts Political Economy Research Institute and Dr. Robert Pollan, who is here, in producing a report called Green Recovery, a program to create good jobs and start building a low-carbon economy. What we found as we looked at a package of investment in climate solutions, in clean, renewable energy and energy efficiency, was that investing wisely in public infrastructure and in creating these markets, it's possible to build new industries, improve American competitiveness, and create good jobs. This is not a substitute for global warming policy, but it is not cap and trade itself. What we're looking at here is the investment side of the equation. How do we invest in building these markets, in creating these new industries? We looked at six strategies, three for energy efficiency, three for renewables, and we found that they create very significant jobs and economic opportunity. They create more jobs, and they create more jobs at higher wages when compared either to a traditional program of economic stimulus. And so if we're to consider a package of stimulus, we may want to consider these sorts of investments that produce these other long-term benefits as they jumpstart the economy and move us onto a path of recovery. We also compared those investments to investments in the oil industry and traditional energy sector. And I want to just focus in here with the bulk of my comments on why renewable energy and energy efficiency actually are a very, very strategic point of investment for rebuilding the economy and for creating new opportunities. Investing in energy efficiency and renewable energy should be central to any near-term economic recovery package. They create new investment. This is a situation where public investment, strategically employed, can create, can crowd in, if you will, new private sector investment, helping to create markets, helping to create demand, and helping to change the cost structure of businesses to create new opportunities. It also creates access to credit. If you look at financing mechanisms to invest in building retrofits, we're talking about creating new demand through these public investments for small businesses. And I'm very pleased to share the stage today with a representative of small business. It's the lighting contractors, the insulators. These are the people who will be employed in a clean energy economy. They will do the hard work. We call them green jobs, but these are really familiar jobs in professions that we know and that are at the bedrock of the American economy. And lastly, it's specifically focused on construction and manufacturing. These are very, very significant opportunities. They create good jobs, career ladders, and pathways into middle-class professions. So there's a couple structural reasons why focusing on energy efficiency and renewable energy makes good economic sense. They are relatively more labor-intensive than either consumption or investment in traditional energy systems. You're taking a dollar that you would otherwise spend on wasted energy, and instead you're sinking it, and it would result in pollution. Instead, you're sinking that into skilled craftspeople to retrofit buildings or advanced manufactured goods that operate at a higher level of efficiency. That's a smart investment. It's not just just mindless spending. It's strategic spending. So turning this waste into skills is a very significant piece. So additionally, the domestic content is greater. If you we compared the same investment in a consumption-based stimulus, just simply giving rebates to folks, and 22% of average household expenditures under those circumstances would flow to imported goods. In a domestic green economic package, we're talking about something closer to 9% that would flow out of the economy. The bulk of the money stays in local communities. It reduces costs for business very, very significantly. We have two times the energy intensity of our gross domestic product of the rest of when compared with other industrial countries. It also creates more jobs overall, and they're very broad-based. So this is an opportunity to create career ladders and pathways into good jobs with appropriate training. I want to commend Representative Solis on her green jobs package that was in the recent energy bill. Linking this to training and workforce investment is a great opportunity to bring people into good jobs. And lastly, it lowers the cost of action on climate eventually by bringing new products to market, by bringing these new technologies like renewable energy up the cost curve so that they're in greater mass production. It's going to drive down the cost of these new technologies in the long term. Let's see. I'd want to just also mention that public infrastructure is fundamentally community-based. These are local investments. They're very difficult to outsource. And so this is money that tends to stay within communities. The other point that I want to make is that there's a great deal of policy that we can act on very easily. There's a range of policies that are in my written testimony. I would encourage the members and the staff to look at the policies that we cite. I just want to very quickly touch on the story of the Weatherization Assistance Program as I close my remarks. The Weatherization Assistance Program has a cost-benefit ratio of $2.69 for every dollar invested because it produces savings for ratepayers, savings for small businesses, and it helps low-income folks. It also creates 52 jobs for every $1 million invested. But over the life of the program, there have been 5.6 million homes that have been retrofit through this program. but there are 34 million homes that qualify for weatherization assistance. The authorization has been upwards of $700 million, but the appropriation has been about $2.25 million. So we're dramatically underinvesting in something that clearly yields a positive cost benefit. It creates more jobs than many other forms of investment, and it saves low-income ratepayers and small businesses money to reinvest in the community. This is a smart, strategic investment for the American economy. It's a good way to be growing our economy at a time of tremendous difficulty and driving new investment into construction and manufacturing jobs. Thank you very much for the time, and I appreciate your attention.
You are listening to The Road to Green Jobs, testimony to the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming, September 18, 2008. We now go to Dr. Robert Polin, co-director, Political Economy Research Institute.
Thank you, Bracken. Dr. Polin.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks to Mr. Markey for inviting me and Mr. Sensenbrenner and the whole committee. I'm Robert Polin. I'm professor of economics and co-director of the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. I'm also the co-author of this study that came out last week called Green Recovery that was done in conjunction with my friends at the Center for American Progress. And I want to acknowledge the outstanding work done by my friends, especially Bracken and Kit Batten, and helping us produce this piece of work. I'm going to actually go down the questions that Chairman Markey posed to me in the written invitation. Number one, do economic conditions justify such a program? I think we can don't have to spend too much time on the economic conditions. We all know that unemployment has risen from 6.1%. A year ago, it was 4.7%. People are working also fewer hours, taking pay cuts. They're discouraged. Those don't get reflected fully in the unemployment statistic. We know, obviously, what's going on in financial markets. Though this is not explicitly a financial market program, thank you for acknowledging my work on financial markets, it certainly can be integrated into a solution to conditions in financial markets because, number one, it is establishing a floor for overall demand in the economy, which is one of the main things we need. And number two, it's providing opportunities for new productive investment outlets. This is the key. I mean, the long-term problem with financial markets is excessive attention to speculative profit opportunities and not enough attention to long-term productive investments. So this is integrated into that solution. Okay, why a green stimulus program? This is a $100 million program over 2 years, and according to the modeling that we've done, it would create roughly 2 million jobs. There's six investment initiatives, three in the areas of energy efficiency and three renewables. The energy efficiency are building retrofits, which is, in fact, the most important single piece in terms of where we think money should be spent now. Public transportation and freight rail and a smart grid electrical transmission system. Those are the energy efficiency areas. And the renewables are wind power, solar power, and biofuels. I want to emphasize that the way we've proposed this, the way we've modeled it, 70% of all the spending is for efficiency, so that is certainly the bulk. What are the benefits of the program? Well, as Bracken said, the job creation is very widespread. I mean, we have that in the report. We go over in detail the types of jobs. People think that green jobs somehow suggests something esoteric. They've never heard of it. Well, these are jobs for roofers, welders, electricians, machinists, accountants, secretaries, and yes, research scientists. So it's across the board. It is a jobs program. We don't even have to call it green jobs. We just have to call it jobs. They're good jobs. There's a wide range of jobs. The 2 million job creation would, in the current job market, as we know, there's 9.4 million people unemployed now. That would drop the unemployment level to 7.4 million. If we consider that in today's economy, that would mean a fall in unemployment from 6.1 to 4.8%. And as Bracken said, it is particularly focused on construction and manufacturing. We know how hard construction has been hit. That is the other side of the financial crisis and the housing crisis, that the construction industry is flat. You have over a half a million jobs having been lost over 2 years. This program would bring them back. It is very efficient as a jobs program. As we said, as Bracken said, this combination of investments focused primarily on energy efficiency would create 2 million jobs for the $100 billion in expenditure. That is higher than what we got from the April 2008 stimulus, which would create about 1.7 million jobs. And it's dramatically higher. It's four times higher than what we would get through similar expenditure in the oil industry. And as Bracken said, what are the two drivers here? It's not really that difficult to figure out. And you can be a two-handed economist on this. It's domestic content and labor intensity, right? It means more jobs are created within the U.S. economy because they're focused there, and you have a higher proportion of employment relative to expenditures on non-employment. Such as on materials, energy, shipping oil from Saudi Arabia to the United States. For the energy efficiency areas, the domestic content is about 95 to 96%. That makes sense when you think about retrofitting this building. It's not going to take a lot of imports to do that. Now, what about benefits in terms of energy savings, which is what Mr. Markey also asked me about? Very substantial. We think about a building like this, public building retrofits. The U.S. Council on Green Energy Building estimates that we have about 21 billion square feet of public building that could be retrofit on average at $1.40 per square foot. So that's to retrofit and make energy efficient. Every single public building in this country would be a roughly $30 billion or somewhat less program. It would lower energy costs 20 to 30%. If we then think about the same model for households, private individual homes, you get the same 30% return over a matter of 3 years. So energy bills go down while you're creating jobs. Now, what about funding in the short term, medium term? We outlined three different types of investment funds, $50 billion in tax credits for business, $4 billion in loan guarantees, which then, of course, underwrite a much larger number of actual loans themselves, and $46 billion in direct spending. So notice that the majority of spending is going to promote private business. In the immediate term, we are talking about a fiscal stimulus, a deficit spending. Over the longer term, it would be paid for through cap-and-trade revenue. The fiscal deficit is a problem. It is not the overriding problem. The fiscal deficit now, as a proportion of GDP, is well within range, certainly, of what we've had historically under these kinds of conditions. Now, finally, the broader benefits. Reduce demand for oil. It's going to exert downward pressure on oil. It's going to improve the trade balance, which will then improve our current account balance, too. The job creation will generate more tax revenues. It is going to channel funds to productive private investors, and finally, it'll fight global warming. Thank you very much.
You have just heard testimony webcast live as The Green Road to Economic Recovery, from the U.S. Government Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming on September 18, 2008. We heard the opening remarks by Congressman and Chairman Ed Markey, followed by two proponents, Mr. Bracken Hendricks, Senior Fellow, Center for American Progress, and Dr. Robert Pollan, Co-Director, Political Economy Research Institute. Others testifying were Mr. Fred Redmond, Vice President, United Steelworkers, Mr. Byron Kennard, Executive Director, Center for Small Business and the Environment, and Dr. Margot Thorning, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist, the American Council for Capital Formation. Only Dr. Margot Thorning, representing a supercapitalist think tank, opposed the idea of government initiatives to create green jobs through American-made alternative energy. Find out more about the Select Committee at globalwarming.house.gov.